Now I will say the same thing in Tibetan. Sacred instructions that you have received, and quite few of them yet to receive, they are all very much related with the teachings that you have already received, which I have mentioned, the essence of six yoga, and also essence of the seven dharmas of formless Dakini. And these are the same essence which is elaborated here. And in this teaching, which is directly given by Milarepa to Rechungpa, which is known as Rechung Nyenju, one of the Rechung Nyenju, mouth-to-ear lineage, in this related with the Chakra Sambhara practice, the three kayas are mentioned here. What is born, all kind of variety and all kind of manifestation, which is Nirmanakaya, the power of itself, then whatever has to be fulfilled as an activity of this manifestation is fulfilled. Therefore, the nadi, bindu, prana, prana is, bindu is here described as bodhicitta, and so it is transformed into this. So first, the nirmanakaya. And nirmanakaya, when it is not misused, and when it is not gone in the wrong direction, then each manifestation of our nirmanakaya, its purpose is fulfilled, then it will naturally transform this nirmanakaya's all aspect into perfect nadi prana and bodhicitta. And so it transformed into this. And this transforms into or manifest into the form of Sri Heruka, which is Chakra Sambhara here, and which is Sambhogakaya, and which transforms into this. And that essence of Sri Heruka is realized, so that is Dharmakaya. So ever-present, never-born, Jewa Mepa means, Jewa means birth, never-born, so beginning is Jewa, so born into this, and never-born, the Dharmakaya, so that is the final. So the entire body, speech, mind is transformed into Dharmakaya and into the Dharmakaya essence, the primordial Dharmakaya. So this is quite simple and easy to understand, as well as easy to implement. And I remember one more thing which I wanted to mention, but I forgot to mention in Tibetan, so I will do that after this. That is, people like us, okay, I cannot say really exactly us, I shouldn't be lying. Each one of us are not exactly the same. So each one of us are slightly different. But generally speaking, most of the devoted practitioners, we are doing our best. And our best will be different from one person to another. and but still our best, and our relative best, not ultimate best, relative best. Ultimate best of everyone will be same, but nobody know how to do our ultimate best, so we do our relative best. And when we are doing relative best, then we are doing we are on the right path, and we are getting progress, of course. But this progress, whether it will go forward effectively and quickly, swiftly, relatively speaking, or not, depends very much on the samaya. And samaya is such that if you know all the details, then you have to keep them all. If you know and you don't keep, then you broke the samaya right away. There's no such thing that let me learn first and then think about it later. There's no such thing in Vajrayana tantric samaya. There's no such thing. You learn about it and you practice it. If you're not going to practice, you're not going to learn. That is very simple. That is how it used to be. And that is how I am, like myself, how I am trying to keep it and try to preserve it this way. Because that is the blessing. Let's try, let's see. There's no faith, there's no devotion, there's no trust, there's no bodhicitta. So then it will be breaking the samaya from my part if I let that happen. So that way, whatever we know, we do our best. And it all will boils down to remaining ourselves in the state of Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nirmanakaya, in faith and in practice and in our perception. Do our best. And today, what does that mean to you? And 2 years from now, what does that mean to you? Definitely will be different. If you have done your best, it will be much deeper and much more correct 2 years from now. And right, and then another 2 years more, it will be much deeper and much more correct. So that is how much we should know about all the details of the tantric vows. And so this is that is why the Vajrayana is sometimes known as secret mantra and tantra. So it is not secret because there's something to hide, but it is secret because it is sacred, and sacredness cannot be tried. You know, sacredness cannot be researched, and sacredness cannot be put down on the floor and step all over it and tear into pieces and mix with all kind of unbecoming things. You cannot. So therefore, unbecoming things are also ultimately sacred, but in our mind it is not, because we will wear gloves when we touch them. And if in our mind it is equal, then no problem. But we will put mask on our nose and goggles on our eye and gloves on our hand to touch those things. Then we put the sacred things with that, you know, that is absolutely what defines in my mind of demon or devil. Because there's no such thing as some kind of guy over there with tails and horns who is called demon or devil. You know, we can become demon. We can become devil. If we do the wrong thing, if we go totally opposite of devotion, we are devil. If we go totally opposite of bodhicitta, we are devil. If we go totally opposite of compassion, we are devil, for the temporary. There's no ultimate in it. Therefore, one day we will change, and then we become bodhisattva, we become yogi again. So, but it will take long time, because somebody who fell from very high will take long time to recuperate. And even the therapy, physiotherapy will take many years and many, many operations. So that way, I wanted to tell you about this. And then the four sentences, which is four verses, which is one of the teaching here. These four verses are the foundation affirmation of foundation is the view. So at the beginning we have to ascertain, we have to confirm, so of the foundation, the basis of our mind, basis of everything is essence of our mind, and essence of everything is essence of our mind, essence of emptiness, ultimate emptiness. So that is view. And then how to let it be. Ya means leave. So how to let it be. So we are doing everything to let the perfect primordial potential be as it is. So that is the practice, that is the meditation. We do visualization, we do recitation, we do meditation, we do purification, we do accumulation, all kind of things to for that purpose. That is the practice. And meditation. And taking everything as a path, using everything as a path, taking this view, taking this practice out into life, not only in the meditation, not only on your meditation cushion, which normally used to call zafu. So not only on that, and taking it into every aspect of reality that you go on in life. And that is the action, that is the chepa action. And then there's so many ways where it can go wrong. Of course, nothing can go wrong ultimately, but relatively many things can go wrong. You wanted to go somewhere physically, and you can miss it. You can make mistakes, and you can actually, it is right next to you. You are in the west, and you are going to the east, and there's only 100 kilometers from here to there. But you make a mistake, and instead of going to the east, you go to the west. So it will take about 20, 30 kilometers to get there. And you still get there. And we call that, you know, missed and mistake. So there's no ultimate mistake, but there is mistakes. And overcoming all of those mistakes, which is very clearly mentioned in the four dhammas of Gampopa, transmission of which you already have received. So our mind should go towards the dharma. And dharma should be smooth and successful. Dharma should be dharma, and then path, this dharma path should have no obstacle, and even there's obstacle, that should be transformed into wisdom, a primordial wisdom. So according to that, this fourth verses is this. And for this, I gave them as example. There was a person who had an attendant, and that boss told the his attendant, his helper, tomorrow you have to go somewhere, you know, some such and such place. You have to go tomorrow. Tomorrow you have to go to such and such place. Then the servant said, yes sir. And tomorrow the boss is waiting and servant does not appear. And he was waiting, very disappointed. And late in the afternoon, his servant came sweating and very tired. And then the boss told him, I want you to send there, and I'm waiting for all these hours, and you are nowhere to be found. And he said, I'm already gone there. You know, so then that means the person exactly did what his boss told him, but he don't know why, and he don't know what to do and the purpose. So Dharma practice should not become like that. You know, we should not become just totally busy with the practice, busy with the meditation, busy with the prayers, busy with study, you know, all of that, without exactly knowing why we are doing it. And so we have to, or our purpose is wrong, you know. We are doing dharma for non-dharmic purpose, then that is totally wrong. So it should not become like this. So that way, these four verses are somehow summarizing all of that into a very simple three-page sacred instruction. And I think this will somehow cover everything. And later, I don't think there's not much to say, but there's some of the Telopa's teaching and some of the Naropa's teaching, and something about Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya, which are very sacred teachings. And one of these days, maybe today, I will tell you briefly, I will teach you briefly on that, because that comes up quite a bit in these sacred instructions.